I want to speak to you on a topic that I've taken from the book of Job, and it is called, "If a man die, shall he live again?" It's a question that this man Job posed in his answer to those that he was communicating with, because it was a question in his heart. It was a question that he had to come to terms with and to get an answer for. Now, just recently, there have been a lot of senseless killings going on throughout the country. Almost every day you read in the newspaper or you hear on the radio that somebody has been murdered, families have been killed. And just recently, there's been such a slew of bad reports of people who have been killed. And it began to just cause me to think on this topic. You know, there's one thing for sure. There's one appointment that we're all going to make. Nobody's going to be late for this appointment. Nobody has ever been late for this appointment. And it's an appointment with death. It's appointed unto man once to die. We're all going to die. 100 years from now, and all of us, some of us may be like Methuselah and live to 969, but 100 years from now, we are not going to remember this day. We're going to be gone. Death is coming to us all. It's a sobering topic. As I just began to make some notes this last week on this topic of death, I began to think back in my own life, and I was actually stunned. It caused me to stop and think about the times when I was a lot younger on how close I came to death. And I began to think, the first recollection that I remember thinking about dying, I must have been about 8 years of age, and two friends of mine, we'd gathered together, and I don't know what it is about boys, but we decided that we're going to crawl through this very small water drainage. And so the three of us, this one guy's ahead of us, and I'm close behind, and we're crawling through, and I'm 8 years old, and we just knee-high to a grasshopper, but still, this water drainage is small, and it's constricting, and it was one of these long ones. We wanted to see where this thing went. We're crawling through this thing. I remember it as I began to just jot some notes down. And I remember crawling through this, and all of this dust from the silt from the last rains, and it was all dry, and this kid in front of me was kicking up all of this dust, and it was just flying all around. And I remember beginning to choke, and suddenly this fit of claustrophobia came upon me. I couldn't get forward because there was this kid in front of me, and I couldn't go back because this other kid was behind me. And I was caught in the middle, and I had this strange sense I was going to die in this water drainage pipe. And that's as far back as I can remember as far as death is concerned, as thinking about death. I began to count. I went, growing up in my teenage years, I began to count the amount of times that I came a hairbreadth away from dying. And that God, even before I was a Christian, I knew, I look back, and I know God must have had his hand on my life to keep me from these times that I know that I should have died. From motorcycle accidents, whereas, you know, close to come to death as ever, to rollovers in an automobile with friends who going around and we were drinking and the car rolling and we just come to a close enough to a death in that automobile rollover. When I think of in airplanes and drugs, when I think of as a youth, how crazy. I definitely ran with the wrong crowd, folks. When I think back and I think of the trains that were slowed down on inclines, and after drinking a few beers, we'd run and jump on trains going up these inclines as they slowed down and then jumping off at the next siding. I think of the buildings that we ran on the top of the roofs on several stories high. And I think back to those times and I say, God, any one of those times I could have died. I could have gone to my death. And yet your hand was upon me. It's amazing as we think back, and I can imagine just with all of you in the house tonight how many times that you have come so close to death and God has kept you and you didn't even know it was the hand of God, but He knew this night was going to be tonight and that you'd be in the house of God, and He's kept you to hear the Word of God tonight. People have had to come to terms with death. I think of, I was just reading up some things in the past about how Rome looked at death. If an emperor died, they would, or one of their great officials died, they would take an eagle and throw it into the sky to represent the ascent of their spirit and their immortality. You see, people have looked at death strangely. All through the ages, men have had to come to terms with looking at death, and some people have seen it, you know, in strange ways. We've all come into the world one way, and you think about it, we've all come into the world one way, but there's a thousand ways that we may leave. Amen. There's a thousand ways that we may die. I like what one person said. This mother said to her disobedient son, "I brought you into this world, and I can take you out again." That's just one way that that kid could go. But it's a fact. We don't know when our last day on earth is going to be. We take a look at the Bible, and the Bible speaks clearly to us of how some men, when they face death, how they put their trust in God. And it was so simple. It wasn't complicated. I think of a king who was so sick, lying on his bed because of a boil, and this boil had begun to infect his whole life. And he lay on his bed, and they had been probably treating him. He was sick, and I don't know who called for the prophet, but the prophet comes to the king's house and speaks to him. And on the way, God speaks to this prophet. He comes and he brings a message to the king, and he says to the king, "Set your house in order, for you are going to die, and you're not going to recover from the sickness." Suddenly, from a sickness that this king was faced with, lying on his bed, he'd lived a good life, and then all of a moment, in a moment of time, he is told by authority, by a prophet, "You're not going to survive this. You're going to die. Get your house in order." And the simplicity that this king prayed, he just simply prayed. The prophet left the room, and this king, he prayed this, and you can read this in 2 Kings chapter 20. The king prayed a simple prayer. He said, "Oh God, remember me. Remember me. Just remember how I've lived. I've wanted to serve you." It was simple prayer. But at the face of death, he made a little prayer from the heart, and God heard it. The prophet turned around before he had left the inner court of this palace. God spoke to the prophet and said to him, "Go back to the king and tell the king, I've heard your prayer. I'm going to heal you." And that king lived on another 15 years that God added to his life. Folks, the power of a simple prayer when faced with death. A simple prayer. I think of another man in the New Testament, a man who, in the same sense, was facing death. This man was about to die. He was on a cross right next to Jesus. There were two thieves, insurrectionists, one on either side. And in the contortion of their body, the configuration of their bodies on this cross, and yet in the grip of this asphyxiation, that's what the Roman cross did. It began to cause an asphyxiation. They would press with their feet, but the searing pain would cause them to not push so hard, and yet the body would be pulled and torn as they were on that cross. And this thief, gasping in a sense in the last moments and hours of his very life, on this cross, as he struggles for air, as he struggles to communicate, as he struggles to talk, and yet lived a life so far from God all of his life, and yet in the very dying moments of his life, out of the gasping from his lungs, he turns towards Christ on the cross next to him, and he prays an equally simple prayer. He says, Lord, he says, Jesus, Luke 23 tells us this, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Folks, that's not a deep prayer. Anybody can pray that prayer. But it comes from a heart of a life that is facing death and suddenly seeing, I need God. And in that moment of time, he prays and he asks the Lord, remember me. And Jesus turns to him and says to him, just like God spoke to the king, in a moment of time, the prayer, folks, it's prayer is faster than texting. You can text your friend and you can sit waiting. Come on, come on, come on. Prayer is faster than email. The moment they prayed, their prayer was heard and God answered. And Jesus said to that man, this day, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Praise God. The awesome power of prayer when confronted with death. Now it's interesting, I chose the scripture in the book of Job, because here was a man in Job chapter 14. This man at this point in his life, he doesn't know whether he's going to survive what he's going through at this present time. He doesn't know if he's going to live, and he is facing a certain death. This man has lost his children. He has lost his wealth. He has lost those who worked for him. He has lost his health. This man is in a condition where boils have broken out all over his body, and the poison of those boils is certainly seeping into his whole system. He doesn't know, folks, if he's going to live another day or not. In fact, when you read this chapter, you have an understanding that he is actually wishing for the grave. And he tells us in verse 1, he says that man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He says life is so complex and full of difficulties. Everyone who is born, our days are so few. He says in verse 5, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. In other words, he's saying, God, you have determined how many days we're going to live. We don't know that. You don't know whether you are going to see tonight out. You don't know it. None of us know it. Death waits at the door and it knocks. We don't know the day or the hour that has been determined that we shall die. But God does. God knows. And this is what he is saying. Job is bringing this out, and he says, he's talking about that God knows his days. The time is that he was living in were difficult. He was in difficult circumstances himself. He says, it's better, you know, a tree is better than I am. A tree is better than us, because a tree might die. It's you know, the trunk might just rot in the ground and the roots get old. But he goes on to say in these verses, but with a tree, just at the scent of water, it can begin to bud. Where you saw a dead tree yesterday, today at the scent of water, new life is coming out. But he wasn't sure about that about himself. And he says, my days are numbered. He says in verse 10, but man dieth and wastes away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? These are the questions that were being posed as he was communicating these things, posed to his own heart. Where is man when he dies? Where are you going if you were to die tonight? We're all going to face death, folks. But where are you going? This is one of the questions he asks. Where is he? Where is man when he dies? It's, you know, the Romans, I said, throw an eagle up and say, oh, his spirit is gone. Where has it gone? See, we all have to understand that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And death is the doorway to either one of these places. And you have to face that. If you've not made a decision for Jesus Christ, the Bible says that those who do not commit their life to Christ, do not allow Jesus Christ to come into their lives, are going to hell. But for every person who accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, heaven is guaranteed. So he asked the question. So Job comes back and he says, here in this verse 13, he says that he would be hidden in the grave. And then he comes to a place in the scriptures here where he says, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time. And this is his simple prayer. I mentioned about a king who just prayed, Lord, remember me. I spoke about a thief on a cross in his simple prayer and just said, Lord, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? Both those prayers were answered. And here is a man who uses exactly the same word. He says, remember me. This is a cry of his heart. This man doesn't know whether he's going to live or not. He's got boils from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. It looks like he is facing death. And this is the cry of his heart. He just says, Lord, will you remember me? Remember me. The Bible goes on to tell us that prayer is answered in a revelation that comes to Job's heart and life. This is what he says in chapter 19, verse 25. And this is Job's answer. As God leads him and gives him a revelation. This is what he says. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Hallelujah. He had the question of eternity answered in his soul. God gave him a revelation. He knows that his Redeemer liveth. Beloved, tonight, do you know that your Redeemer lives? Do you know that you have been saved? I want to close tonight by just reading to you from the book of Revelation. Just listen to these words. I don't want you to turn there in your Bible. I want you to listen to what the Apostle John writes under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He says this, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, the nobodies and those who thought they were somebodies, stand before God. And the books were opened. This is going to happen, folks. This is the reality of eternity. This is what it says. The books were opened. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, when you contemplate death, and you think about it, every one of us are going to die. But you don't have to die a second time. And going into the lake of fire is called the second death. For those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I'm not trying to scare you folks, this is Bible. The Bible says that there is a lost eternity for those who do not know Jesus Christ. It is called a second death. But whosoever was not found written in the books of life was cast into the lake of fire. But the Bible goes on to say in chapter 21, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Today, you have a chance to allow God to make everything new. That you can go into eternal life when you pass from this world. I know that when I die, I know it. Now, I thank God that I didn't die when I was a teenager not knowing God. But I thank God today that if my time is up tonight, I have a confidence and a complete assurance that I go from here into the presence of God. The Apostle Paul said, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Let me ask you a question, sir. Let me ask you a question tonight, ma'am. You're visiting. You may have religion in your soul. You may have been to church all your life. But I got to tell you, as much as going to McDonald's doesn't make me a hamburger, neither does going to church make you a Christian. It's better to be remembered by God than to be remembered in this world. Let me ask you a question tonight. If you are not sure that you are going to heaven if you die tonight, I want to give you an opportunity to get that assurance. You need to know that when you walk out of the house tonight, when you walk out of this church tonight, you need to have an assurance that if this is your last night on planet Earth, that you are going straight to be with the Lord. Now, Jesus unashamedly died on a cross in view of everybody. Unashamedly, he took your sin and my sin upon that cross. And tonight, I'm going to ask you, if you're here tonight and you are not sure that you are going to heaven, you've never asked Jesus Christ, you've been to church, but you've never said, Jesus, be my Lord and my Savior, I'm going to ask you right now, unashamedly, this is your future, this is your eternal future, to put your hand straight up if you're not sure and you need to have Jesus Christ as your Savior. Put your hand straight up in the air. Let's see it tonight. Amen. Put straight up, folks. Don't be ashamed. This is God. God sees these hands. You can put it down again. Let's stand up together, and I'm going to pray. Stand very silently, very quietly, as our musicians come. We want to give an opportunity for those who have never accepted Jesus Christ to make that decision tonight. Now, Lord, we're all going to face death, but as we have seen in the Word tonight, the simplest prayer mixed with faith gives life. Lord, you want us to call out on you. And I pray tonight that those who are not sure about their eternal destiny will make right with God tonight and have that assurance. In Jesus' name, Amen. I'm going to ask you as we sing a song, those of you who put your hand up, now take the second step. Unashamedly, just step out of your seats right now. If you're in the balcony, just step right out. Just ask people just to excuse you. And you just step on past them and you come on down to this altar here. I'm going to pray personally with you right now. Right here in the main sanctuary, you put your hand up. Just make your way right now. Unashamedly, you come and stand right here and we're going to pray with you. If you're not sure about your eternal destiny, God is going to give you life tonight. He's going to give you eternal life through His Son. You come to this altar as we sing. You folk at the altar tonight, it's called the divine exchange. What you're saying is, I need God. You know that you've sinned. I don't have to tell you that you're a sinner. You already know it by the things that you have done in your life. Jesus says, you give me your life, I'm going to give you mine. And it's by simple faith you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. It's the divine exchange. I give you my life, Lord Jesus, I receive your life. And in a moment of time, in the very moment you pray this prayer tonight, you will have the assurance Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit will come and abide in your life. And you will be changed. You will be changed. God will come and live within you. Your name will be in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when you walk out here tonight, you will know that you have eternal life because you've made that step of accepting Christ into your life. Now I want you to pray this very simple prayer with me tonight. And believe it. There's no formula to this. It's just with the heart. Man believes. And so if you just pray the simple prayer, all these little young ones as well, you just simply pray this prayer tonight. Believe that God has forgiven you 2,000 years ago and accept His forgiveness and receive Him into your life, you shall be saved. That's what we call being saved. It means that you will be passed from death unto life. Now you pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you that 2,000 years ago you died for me. All of my sin was placed upon you when they nailed you to the cross. You were taking my sins. I acknowledge I am a sinner, and I need you in my life. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I open my heart and ask you to come into my life right now. Lord, I believe that I have now received you. I've asked and I have received. I believe that right now I am saved. I am on my way to heaven. And I thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now give Him thanks tonight.